Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the Mandarin Sessions. In this one, me and my friend Lucia will talk about growing up in our respective countries. Now, we're both master's students here in Dresden, TU Dresden. Lucia is a DAAD scholar, I'm an Erasmus scholar. We're both pursuing a master's in tropical forestry here. We started talking about when we were kids in Nepal and Bolivia. I'm from Nepal, Lucia is from Bolivia. And then our conversation just veered into everything. I hope you enjoy it.
Okay, so we will talk about the baby us.
Yes, baby us.
Yeah. Baby us.
Yeah. So this would be our first podcast.
Yes.
The first of many, hopefully. If I don't forget you, you know. Like.
No, I'm already on my.
Now, since I have your full
my name. My identity, yeah. Number two.
Your address as well, right?
Yeah. Okay, so you said you were playing football when you were a baby.
But that was like the earliest memory of me being a kid. I remember some of the friends I grew up with because like they're still my friends.
Wow.
Like at least in Facebook. Well, at least they were. Now I don't have Facebook anymore, so I have no friends. Yeah, but I think, no, because I went to like a boys' school, so I remember like, you know, standing in line, like we had to sit for an exam, and then I don't know how they chose students. I don't remember much of the exam, but yeah. And then I remember we used to have this like really, like a really good bathroom when I was in class one, and then when I got promoted to class two, and so they started like also taking in girls.
Mm.
So the nice bathrooms all became ladies' bathrooms. So we're like,
oh no.
Yeah.
But at least you could go outside.
You could always go outside. I was never
outside to pee.
No, we still had bathrooms.
Yeah,
but
I
like,
know, but you know, you have more possibilities.
Wow.
As a woman, we need the best.
Alright, I give you that. Yeah, but and how was it growing up in Bolivia?
Yeah, for example, I remember that, so I grew up and I went to a very American school. So
ooh,
I started,
fancy.
Yeah, even we do the maths, we're like in the US way, you know, like.
So you were dumb.
Exactly. When I went, because then I changed to the one of the schools that was very good at mathematics, physics, and chemistry. I didn't know how to do the proper, like, you know, fucking thing. Sorry.
But, it's okay.
But, you know, yeah. And I knew more about American culture. Like, I even knew that to sing the hymn, the anthem.
Ah, okay.
Before the Bolivian one.
So the American national anthem.
Yeah.
Do you still
oh,
remember?
Oh, say, can you see?
So yeah, you were taught that.
Yeah.
In school.
And
how were the other students? Were they also like?
All our teachers were Americans, and most of my friends were like related with, you know, with they had parents from America or something. And but or like yeah, we were not so many. And yeah, it was weird because none in my house knew how to speak English. So when I wanted to do my homework, I have no idea how to do it. So then they thought that I have some mental problem. No, I'm not, this is true. They took me to the psychologist and to psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist, yeah.
Yeah, to see what was happening with me because I would like just put whatever letters and like keep playing, you know. And yeah, then
so this was
when
how old were you?
Probably at what age do you get in kindergarten? Like five?
Yeah, I think four or five.
Five. So I was six probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Six, seven, maybe not.
But then why did your parents put you up
because they want me to know English.
That
was their thought. But I did not practice. Like, I didn't know anything.
Yeah, because, like, in school you were English, but back home, like, nobody, you had nobody to speak English with.
Exactly. So it was fun. But then they realized that it was that. So they.
It's really funny because, like, even in Nepal, like, even now I know, like, parents want their kids to be able to speak fluently in English. And I don't know how, like, that's become normal. You know, normal thing now, like where, like that is what parents strive for the children.
But I think it's because it opened new opportunities.
No, but then, like, looking globally, there are a lot of people who would die to speak Spanish. You know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But like, also, English, I think, is most important if you want
but
to
not,
apply.
But why not French or Chinese or Russian? Why
because
not English.
Well, the story, the background on this is because my mom. She went to Mexico to do her specialty. And
when so she for a master's?
No, she's a doctor.
Ah, okay.
So she was doing her specialty, but she didn't know to speak English. So they need to do like a work, and she just translate, pay someone to translate a 2 or 3 papers for her. And then they probably don't do it well. And when the doctor asked her like a question and she just answered whatever the translation was, she said that is not true. Like, and she got so embarrassed that she promised herself that her son, her
children
will know how to speak English. So that's how I think I know to speak English because my English is really bad. But I learned, that's the way I learned.
So it would be fair to say you're the first in your family to speak English.
Yeah.
Or learn how to speak
and
English.
And I teach my own small cousins. They know to speak because I would play with them and like try to be the teacher, the English teacher.
Yeah, because you were going to an American school.
Yeah.
So how many years did you go to the school?
Until I was 12, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was also very Christian, so very Christian.
So was it like a...
It was not Catholic, but it was like evangelic.
Okay.
So I would believe in God so bad that I wanted to take my family to church.
Every Sunday.
Yeah, and I would like pray before eating. Oh my God. And to my cousins, I would tell them, no, we need to believe. I know. It was so funny. But
so why did you change schools?
Yeah, but something else that I wanted to say about that we also pray the legion is to the Christian flag I pray a legion to the Christian flag and blah 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 blah, and also to the Holy Spirit. Something weird, you know. I remember that and I knew it by heart, but now I
no, the American Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've seen it in some movies.
Really? Oh my God! There's something that is like that.
No, like they do that. I think in school, I think they start the day with that. And,
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And we even have a flag for that to go to the bathroom, like, or to a school.
It was
super American.
I don't think even in America they have schools like these.
No, it was super American, and in the lectures. That they were like very Christian too. I know the life of Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Like more than the Bolivian the Bolivian history. I'm not kidding. Yeah. So it was funny. But then I changed because my brother changed to this awesome school and my mom will not give me attention because my brother was like, you know, he was always the messy one, but he's very intelligent. So all the tension was with him, and I start to be a very good student, but my mom will not give me attention, so I say, I want to go to that school. So then I changed, and I entered, and it was a hell, because my level of mathematics was so low.
Only mathematics?
Because the other things were not as strong as mathematics, chemistry, and physics. So that school was only that, basically.
Okay.
And so I would like go home, and I remember that I would start doing my homework all day. Like, that was my afternoon, and then I would go to sleep at night, but you know, and I couldn't understand my homework, and my dad would need to like explain me and blah, blah, blah. And then I remember that one day, like after like many months, that I understood the lesson in class. And then I said like, yes!
you had an eureka.
Exactly. Like, and my dad said, Lucia, do you want to do your homework with me? And I said, no, I understood. And I remember we went for ice cream together because it was the first time it was very hard for me. High school was...
Are you good in maths now?
I like them, but yeah. I'm not fast. Okay. I could, for example, when we learned to do integrates and all those things, I remember that in vacations, I would just do it because for fun, you know? But my test, I would never be the best, you know? Mm. But I have very, very intelligent... I study with very intelligent kids. But I was not...
But hey, you're in Germany.
Yeah, in Germany. Stuck in Germany.
We're better than most of the people right now. We're doing better.
Yeah,
at least we can go out.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the story of baby Lou. What about baby Prague?
I went to a Jesuit school as well, like with fathers and sisters and
mm-hmm.
like, you know, I still like, yeah, some of the things are engraved in my brain as well. There was this like quote like all over school, like in most places where like it basically said like respect is shown when rules are obeyed and those kind of things. It was strict and like, you know, but yeah, I was an average kid, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought, like, I like looking back now, I never enjoyed like all of that because I think it was always set by someone else. You know, like you had to follow this, like there was a syllabus and everything. Whereas now, I think I'm doing so well because I enjoy it, and because most of the things I'm studying now is my choice.
Mm-hmm.
Like I get to choose, like, you know, have a list of modules for me, at least like some choices and options, and I can be like, yeah, I'll study this instead of this. But yeah, no, it was fun. Growing up in Nepal was fun, yeah. It was very carefree.
Did you stay in the same school all?
Yeah, until the 10th standard.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went just outside of the city and like lived in a dorm, and it was nice.
Wow.
I didn't like it that time. Like, you know, I couldn't adjust to the whole life. You know, back then, like, I still remember, like, I can eat really spicy food now,
mm-hmm.
but back then I could not. So it was dormitory food, and like, and I still remember it was like the first weekend or something, and we had meat, chicken, like, you know, like, and spicy chicken. And everyone was enjoying it, and it was so delicious, but I couldn't like handle the spice.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was just like crying my eyes out, but still eating because the food was so good, and it was chicken, I didn't want
to
waste it.
That is what happens to me when I eat momos.
Yeah. Yeah, but then I think now and then I slowly started liking spicy food whilst living there. Yeah, it was nice.
How many years did you study there?
Just 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just my high school. I didn't do really well, so I didn't know what to do and everything. Yeah, but yeah, back to growing up.
And it was only boys?
No. It was both boys and girls. But it was really nice. Like, the place was really nice. Most of the weekends, I remember me and my friends, we used to go on hikes. Well, I was lazy, but like, you know, they used to go on hikes.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to join them, like, often.
Yeah. Like, and just living by yourself seems so young.
Yeah, but I think that is when, like, you know, my photography was just starting to kick in. And I really enjoyed living there because I took a lot of good pictures. I still have them somewhere in my hard drive. But yeah, like high school was nice. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that's when I realized, like, I think, or maybe at, like, when it ended and, like, I realized I didn't want to study chemistry ever. That was my moment when I realized, like, no chemistry for life. I've been blessed.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had to deal with, like, chemistry. Yeah. That's good about forestry, right?
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, you can touch if you want.
Yeah, but then...
But then...
You have an option not to touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think I've always, like... I've always liked numbers, but then maybe I was not confident enough, but now I'm very good with statistics at least.
Mm-hmm.
And like with programming now, like it's super easy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just Google the codes as well. You don't need to know them and everything. You just need to filter your data and clean your data and have them in a structured way and then just put it in R and then like it does the magic. So like if I'm not like our statistics like teacher who can just like whip out like examples and do everything, but if he asks me to like do something with the data, I can, because I know where to look for codes and like what codes to look for.
But don't you think then that like we gather like some skills and we have some kind of inclination to something, but at the same time, whatever we would like to learn now, we could, like, because we have, like, YouTube that can teach us.
Yeah.
And, but the thing is, like, finding what to
yeah, I think, like, one of the things, at least, like, studying here and, like, back in the UK has taught me is, like, not so much about what to look, but where to look as well. Like, just because I found myself in situations where I know topics and everything, but I don't know where to look for resources, like credible resources or easy resources.
Mm-hmm.
But at least now, like, I know where to look. And then, like, there would be, like, different levels of those as well. Like, if there's a tutorial, there'd be, like, a basic one. And then, like, and it's good to follow just one. It's the same with papers, like finding papers, you know, you use the Boolean logic and everything. Like, you know, just have AND, OR, X, like what were the others one? I just use AND or and OR when I'm looking for papers.
Mm-hmm.
Ethiopia and medicinal plants.
Okay.
So
and
like,
what happened if you just put Ethiopia medicinal plants?
I don't know for sure, but what I know is if I don't know why we're talking about this, but still, like when I search Ethiopia and medicinal plants, the paper that comes, like through the results, will have both Ethiopia and medicinal plants.
Okay.
So that's what I want.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
I don't want OR as well, like, so it's better to just like
filter it.
Yeah. So yeah, I think so that's the skill you need, because when you start working and everything, like, you'll never find like the perfect job, like where you know everything.
Mm-hmm.
But at least now I feel confident enough, like with the skills I've acquired, like these past 2 years, that I can just like go and then settle and then ask for help as well.
Fine.
You know, like that's the first thing you should do. Like it's really difficult. Like I, like when I began like my master's, I don't think I asked for help, like not from my friends, not from my teachers or anything. But then, like, slowly, like, you know, I realized I know nothing about, like, at least, like, back in Bangor, it was, like, forestry, but more about, like, the European forestry, because, like, we have to be fair to ourselves, like, we're studying in Europe about tropical forestry, like, you know, our fieldwork was in, like, forest in Germany, in England, in Wales. So that would be, like, that would bring some sort of temperate forest and everything, and like it's now I know it's easier because there are only like 15 or so species. So like once you know those 15 species, you're done. Whereas like in our countries, there are like thousands.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say thousands, but yeah, like that would be a fair number. But now at least, like I think now I know. I still remember one of our forest ecology classes back in Bangor in my first year, where we're making like these tree identification tree. Like,
wow.
So you basically start with. It was basically, like, you know, like, when in probability we have these, like, tree diagrams.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's the same structure, like, or the logic that, like, okay, like, it's winter, there are no leaves in the trees. So what's left? There are buds, branching color, bark color. So we'd be, like, we'd make a tree identification guide saying, okay, what's, like, you know, where are the buds located? What color are the buds? So are the buds located parallel to each other?
Okay.
Or like, you know, opposite to each other. So if they're that, like move to number one, move to number two, like on that. So you just like it was like basically like a game
selection.
Yep. So like, you know, like buds, okay, parallel to each other. So what color were they? Brown. Okay, brown. Then move to number three. Then, you know, like how's the, like, you know, bark color, like, you know, if it's like like, you know, like black or like brown or gray, then blah blah blah. Okay, yeah, in the end it's ash or something.
Cool.
So now, like, I know, like, if I go to like Bolivia, like, I'll just need like maybe like, you know, 10 days in the forest and then like specimens, and then I can make my own like guide, so I can identify trees. So I think that's the confidence that you gain. It's not about like you learning to do everything by yourself, but at least like having the skills and also the confidence in yourself. So
yeah, and yeah, somehow I think that I don't feel that confidence. But
why is that?
Because I don't know, like, I
now, you normally say you don't have an undergrad in forestry, but
no, well, that could be, but like this kind of it's like you say, like, take something from a class that will help you in the future, right? Like,
yeah,
for another kind of I don't know, whatever subject you're studying. But yeah, I learn a lot of social aspects of forests, for example, policy and those things. But yeah, I think I can say that now I could write about a governance and this.
No, but I think you're missing the point as well. Like, it's not more about writing, but it's more about the structure that you've learned. So, for example,
yeah,
like, if you like, when you move on after this master's and you get a job and everything, like, there are a few things that all of us would be required to do, regardless of where we are. We'd be asked to do, like, write reports or proposals or, you know, review documents or, like, have a, like, you know, monitoring and evaluation framework. But we've done that. Like, you know how to write.
Yes, I know how to write.
Yeah. In a structured way, you've done, like, so
exactly,
many seminar papers.
And it's
you know how to write a proposal as well and also defend it.
And how to relate, like, I don't know, a theory with, like, some case study or something like that. I think, yes, that is something that I can say I learned.
Yeah. So you're just going to use it. And I think, like, you know, like, think about your first seminar paper you wrote in Dresden and the last one you wrote. And how easy was it, like, was it for you to write the last one compared to the first one?
Yeah.
I remember, like, remember we were in the library when you were writing, and it never occurred to me you could write and make the presentation at the same time. So it's easier. Like, I'd already, like, finished a presentation by then, like, with one of my seminar papers. So I had to write it all by myself, read all the, like, you know, papers again and write. So that was double work for me. But you had experience.
Yeah.
You learn from, like, your past lessons.
That was the only time I did that, though. But
well, that was effective, right?
Yeah.
See? So I think we'll all do, like,
yeah,
moving forward.
That's true. And, well, also the thesis would teach us a lot.
Yeah, teach us to be prepared for the unexpected, right?
Yeah.
I think everyone's learning
it already,
like, in their own lives. Yeah. Like, I still remember it was, like, I was on my way to Berlin, like, to the airport, and they're like, don't go, you know, okay, my trip's cancelled, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, I've left my apartment in Dresden.
What a mess, you know, but we handled it very good, I think.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All this, we handled it, even, like, I could say, nothing really bad happened to any of us. You know, like,
true.
And we did not get mad either, like, I think.
Well, I was frustrated, but yeah.
But you did not.
Well, not at the university.
Exactly, or like, you did not do something bad. Or.
Well, I might have, and nobody knows.
Thank you. But how you would, for example, when you say ask for help, how you would approach that, like, how you would go and ask for help?
I think the first step is to accept the fact that you need help.
Yeah.
I think that's the most difficult one.
I think I would rather tell me what to do.
Yeah.
That to me proposing something, because I doubt so much. But then I thought on that the other day, they will never tell me what to do, because that is what is a master's, you know?
Like,
you need to do.
I think they're supervisors to supervise. Like, they're not going to feed you. Like, you can't expect to be spoon-fed at this level. I think they expect you to propose some things, and then they'll just, like, guide you to, like, a more, scientific path or something, because we are getting a Master's of Science at the end. No, but I think helping, when I talk about asking for help, but I think I mean more about, like, for example, the whole month of March, like, even though I was already back, like, by mid-March, like, I didn't do anything about my visa. I was still stuck up on Ethiopia. A part of me was hoping that I can still fly maybe next week. But then as the situation unfolded, like, I had to accept that, you know, I just can't go. So I talked to my supervisor and told her that maybe I need, like, a week, you know, or two. But I'm working, you know, I'm reading stuff, like, me, but I need my time to come up with something. And I got the space and everything. Even, like, you know, like, the past week when I had, like, my last meeting, like, it was going all well. Like, you know, I was, like, looking at all the papers. I was reading a lot, like, a lot. But then I found myself in this constant circle of, okay, reading, like, finding a really cool, like, aspect on, like, like, you know, agroforestry, farm diversification, like, all of that. And then, like, having a new idea and then trying to add it to my already big, big, like, pool of ideas for my research. And then, you know, thinking about how to make it into a thesis. So, like, there was no out. It was just going. And one day I just realized, like looking back at my notes, I had, like, 20 or so ideas. So I was like, this is never going to happen. So I think that that moment I just, like, wrote an email and asked for, like, a call, basically, because I needed...
But did, like, you send something?
Yeah, like, just a brief, like, you know, like, of what I wanted. Because I think at the end, like, you have a picture of what you want in your thesis, right? You don't have the materials, but, you know, you have, like, a basic theory, and you need, you expect to find, like, you know, something, at least. So for me, like, I'm looking into farm diversification, and then I'm, like, you know, at first I was like, let's see, like, you know, different components of farms and, like, you know, what you can diversify. But then that's, like, unlimited. You can plant anything in that plot of land. And so then I thought about, like, maybe only trees and medicinal plants. But then, like, medicinal plants in itself is a big topic. And, like, it's not very looked into. So I have to look into other sources, and, like, for a case in Africa, especially in Ethiopia. Well, there have been medicinal plants a lot, but there isn't, like, a very, you know, robust scientific knowledge backing it on how to use it in farms, like, you know, how to integrate them into plants. Whereas, like, for timber trees, like, there are a lot of timber trees. But then, you know, it also, like, you also have to step back and ask yourself, is this what you want to research? You don't want to do your research for just, like, you know, for doing a research sake. And I think talking to my supervisor, it was easier. Like, I think it was her listening and then just, like, you know, reading back my ideas to me. And some of them were very stupid.
Like, that will not work.
So, like, like, she was like, you know, like, so, okay, so you're telling me you want to do this, A, this, B, this, C, this. And I'm like, yeah, it sounded good in my head, but when you say it, like, B and C don't make sense. So let's stick with A. So you need that. And I think it's good when you don't have your friends. Because you and me were on the same boat. You're frustrated with your topic. I'm frustrated with mine. And it's like, sometimes it's good to have a friend listening to all of this. But then most of the times you need someone who's already been through this. You know, then they're a supervisor for a reason, because, like, they've done, like, tons of research. They've, like, I think, like, for them, like, you know, one day if we become supervisors, we'll first, like, you know, like, when a student or, like, someone comes with an idea, we'll be like, I thought about this 20 years ago. And, like, second, when they talk about, like, all of these problems, they'll be like, yeah, like, you know, student I had 5 years ago had the same thing. And I did this, you know, but it didn't work. And, like, we eventually did this. So I can skip, like, plan A and just go to plan B, because plan B worked. And I think it's, for them, it's a learning experience as well every year, because it's, like, new students and everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Not everyone is as good as me, so just saying.
I think that if this game becomes something, you know, we should do or you should like talk about how to do a research. Yeah, because you also have like once we are doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like the experience with your thesis. What are you experiencing? You know? Because it's something that everyone in a while will get, and I don't know, and you have like good
input. Well, we can call you as a guest speaker because you're in love with yin, remember?
Case studies. Yes, I still have the book here.
Where is it from? The library, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to return it anymore.
Not now because it's closed, but eventually.
Nice. What if it's closed for like 7-8 months and you have to leave?
It's coming with me.
Yeah, you should go and meet the guy, you know, ask for an autograph and like he can autograph the book.
But now I'm not doing that anymore. So I wonder if we could like do something
about,
like, for example, I was even thinking like to do like a not interview, like survey.
I'm doing expert interviews.
Uh-huh.
So that I can just call them on Skype.
Yeah, exactly. Like something.
And you know, like I can use their like, you know, knowledge. I'll just have maybe 5 or 10 questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Not more than that. And I'll call maybe 10-15 people just to like, you know, like I think that would, at least at this point, like, you know, and the situation we're in, like, help me validate what I have to some extent.
Yeah.
Because like I really wanted to work with communities. I've always loved working with trees. Because as I always say, like, people lie, trees do not. So that's why it's easier, you know. The age of the tree, just like have a borer, just like, you know, take out all and just count the rings, and you know, so people lie about the age all the time.
Yeah.
Trees, they can't, basically. So, you know, with the diameter and everything, and it's really easy to work with trees. So, I don't know, like, I just felt it'd be nice to work with communities. And I think part of the reason I chose to go to the Africa and, like, be engaged in this project was also because I was challenging myself to use a translator.
Uh-huh.
So I was going, like, because I've never worked in research in a place where I didn't know the language. So I thought it'd be fun because, and they were like not one, but 2 different languages.
Wow.
So some spoke Sidama, some spoke Amharic. And it would have been nice to like just, you know, have that experience as well, like using translators, relying on them. And, you know, like, yeah, but hopefully one day. I still have my permit and haven't used it. So I can still get my visa for 30 euros or something for 3 months.
And you probably also have a ticket.
Yeah, I have a voucher now. Like you know, airlines don't fund your refund. Yeah, that's, but it's okay. It's better than nothing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I have like 400, you know, I have more or less 400 euros of voucher from Egypt Air. So maybe I can go to Egypt next year.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it's valid for. I still haven't got it. I've been told I'll get it.
No. Yeah, the thing. But it's definitely a thing to me.
What happened with your refunds?
I don't know yet. They don't answer. But I will keep trying.
Yeah, you should, like, because I don't think, like, I think the last conversation I had with my airlines was, so when would I get it? And then, like, no reply.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just hoping, like, they don't have any employees to reply the emails. Thank you so much for listening. Lucia and I will be talking about a lot of our lives here in Germany and before and beyond. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Hope to see you next week again. Take care, stay safe, and goodbye.